Mataji, you do the introduction, Mataji.
Yeah. So today we are really very fortunate to have His Grace Gaura Nataraj Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Verse 35 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all so much for inviting this fallen soul for this katha. So today we will first start with the prayers. Om Ajnana Tirandasya Janajana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahyam Ladati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Nvishtamam Sam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Saganaragunatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Saganaralita Shri Vishakhan Vitam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Padu Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavadishwari Vrishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalvadarubhyakya Kripa Sindhubhya Yevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravartamama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we're starting from Madhya Leela, chapter 22, and the verse number is 35. So the chapter is entitled Devotional Service, and Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Subhuddhi Yadi Haya Gada Yog Bhakti Yoge Tabe Krishna Re Bhajaya. Due to bad association, the living entity desires material happiness, liberation, or merging into impersonal aspect of the Lord, or engages in mystic yoga for material power. If such a person actually becomes intelligent, he takes to Krishna consciousness by engaging himself in intense devotional service to the Lord. So, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udharadi iti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. So I wanted to read the next verse as well. So whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether one desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person or Godhead, by rendering devotional service. So, the cause of having desire other than to surrender and worship Krishna the cause is described as bad association. So this bad association is mukti mukti siddhi kami. So when you associate with that particular type of people, then you get that particular type of desire. And you can see that. That's why you have actually salesmen in a company. The reason why they have salesmen so that they can market the product. The product is there, but people need to develop a desire for that product. That is their desire. The desire of the CEO and everything. But people develop an interest in this product. Now, for people to develop an interest in their product, they will need to, first of all, meet somebody who is interested in their product or be bombarded. The more the senses are used,
can you come closer to the mic? And there's a lot of static. We can hardly hear you clearly.
Oh, is it? Okay. Now? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I think it was a bit high, the mic. Okay. So, the job of a salesman is to induce people through different media, through different types of media into their particular. What happens? The senses, they process the information. Oh, this is good, this is bad, and they feed it to the mind. The mind records the experience and feeds it to the intelligence. So is this worth going for? So that is why they say when sensual experiences, when one is completely a slave of the senses, then one's intelligence is completely stolen. Is completely stolen. So that is what happens. So when one's intelligence is completely stolen, when he has lost the control of the senses, then it's easier. And why does that happen? Because we are averse to the devotional service of the Lord. The longer you remain in this position of being averse to the devotional service to the Lord, then till that moment he is in a state of anybody can take him. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. So he can be, because there is no goal, because the goal is not fixed towards Goloka Vrindavana, then his goal is fixed towards anything and everything that can allure him, that he finds better than the position he is in. So happiness in this world is relative. Happiness in this world is relative because it depends on what somebody calls as happiness. Atmatattva Prabhu was once giving a very crude example, and he said that if somebody is constipated for many days. It's a very crude example. But he says, even next day, if he can find some relief, then he thinks, oh, my God, now I am happy. So for that man who is constipated, for him, oh, what a relief. But that is not the highest happiness. He does not have information of the highest happiness. So the association gives you a particular information. So that is why when sense gratification is made difficult with rules and regulation, and it is made difficult to approach, that is when you develop some aversion. So that is why in the Vedas, to obtain certain happiness, without getting an averse reaction, one should follow good karma. So people have material desires, but at least they follow something. At least they follow something. But all those who follow, they know certain higher levels of the Vedas. And anyone who has an access, suppose you meet a yogi. Now what happened to Baba Ramdev, for example? Now Baba Ramdev was, he had polio. So because he had polio, he was practically, he could not move. He could not move at all. At that point of time, because he could not move, he met a yogi on the bank of the Ganga. His position, his suffering was such that if it was ever possible to even jump into the Ganga, he would have jumped. He was so frustrated with his life because of his polio. So he meets this yogi. And this yogi, he taught him certain practices and gave him certain meditative techniques and mantra. He said, you do this, you will cure yourself. So Baba Ramdev practiced. He cured himself. And today we see he is one of the biggest yogi. But if you see what is his philosophy, you will be shocked. So he follows the same philosophy as that of the yogi. What happened with him was nothing short of a miracle. Yet he is averse to the devotional service of the Lord. He preaches Arya Samaj philosophy. He thinks God is some formless being. He thinks that anything and everything is God. In fact, our ISKCON sannyasi Radha Govinda Maharaj, when he had a stroke, Ramdev was the first to call him, one of the first to call him, and he said, you are such a gem of Bihar. I will use all my yoga powers and strength and teach you yoga and you can cure yourself. So Radha Govinda Maharaj told him, you rascal, from an atheist like you, I don't want to cure myself. Rather, I suffer this polio and take the reactions rather than being healed by a yogi like you. I don't want to be healed. Even if I have to be healed, I want a yogi who is a devotee of Krishna, not an atheist like you. And in fact, I was invited for some time, although I could not spend much time, to try to help him out. And he said, the only reason I am learning yoga from you is because you are a devotee. So what happens is, here, that was a very big eye-opener for me, and when I read this verse, for me that was like a hitting example. Because the yogis have heard to a limited extent. They have heard to a limited extent. The knowledge is to a limited extent. The knowledge extends to the level of Brahmanda. The knowledge extends to the level of the material universe. The knowledge does not extend beyond the material universe. So it could extend to Siddha Loka, Jana Loka. But even they may hear about Vaikuntha, oh, there is an abode of Vishnu, just like happens to all of us. Just like we may all hear about Disney. And we may all want to go to Disney. But somebody comes and tells you, hey, you know what? Here's a 50% off to Disney. And you have this. Somebody gives you all the details. The salesman gives you this. And, oh, you can go there. You know, just go there. So immediately changes his plan. Oh, my God, I may not get this offer again. So let me go. 50% off. Oh, very nice. I have to go to Disney. So like this. So he becomes very enamored. So similarly, Krishna comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes and says, chant this mantra, Goloka entry free, chant this, come on, chant, please, let's go to Goloka. So he creates a desire within your heart. Oh my God, then he gives you the required knowledge as a salesman. You've been here for millions of years. And I was in a parking lot in a park 2 days ago in Las Vegas. And I met one man and he said, oh, you look like a Hindu. I said, yeah, I'm a Hindu, I'm a temple priest. So he said, I wear dhoti kurta and everything. So then he started, we had a long discussion. And then at that point, he was eager to know about God. Then he started abusing all religions. Then he started abusing everything. Then he said, I want God to come in front of me and give me the answers. I never asked him to put me here. Why did he put me here? I want him to come. He is responsible. I said, you will become old and die. You will not get the answer also. Why do you want to frustrate yourself? You are happy. No, I have a right to do whatever I want. I said, yeah, you have a right to get frustrated. Remain like this. Suffer. Who wants? If you have decided you want to suffer, nobody can help you. I am telling you there is a process. All I have been trying to tell him is read the Bhagavad Gita, go through the process. When you purify, everything that is to be seen will be seen. You have to purify. You have to see the process. So I tried to be the salesman there and tried to explain to him. But either I was weak or he was not ready. So more or less, when the market is there and the product is there and the salesman is good, just like the Bhagavatam, everybody, when Parikshit Maharaj was about to leave his body, everybody gathered there. They thought that is a wonderful occasion. King of the universe, all the yogis there, Sukadeva Goswami, what an atmosphere. So in this way, everybody, 99% were yogis. For Sukadeva Goswami was so expert that in the second canto, he talks about yoga, meditation, yoga, although he has nothing to do with that. So he speaks about that. And eventually brings them to Paramatma, and then he starts the subject matters of Bhagavatam in the third canto. But he captured the attention of the yogis. So he was such an expert, but only when someone is empowered, he can actually sell this Krishna consciousness, and take them out of bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Because everybody by default is either bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. There is nobody who is neutral to it. Because this, especially this passionate cities, the moment you look around, all you see is bar, such an easy access. And you put a nice picture of a bottle or a nice picture of the opposite sex or whatever, you put it, very easy. And that's it, that's the sales pitch. Even if somebody is not interested, but when it is easily accessible, even for curiosity, somebody will go. So this is the situation in this material world, because all the sense pleasures is so easily available. Similarly, when the yogis, there was the flood of these yogis, and today also there is the flood of these yogis, then there is desire for mukti, meditation, so many different things. Of course, they are completely lost, but yet they have some hope that they can attain mukti. So there are the yogis, different types of yogis. In this way, we will find that there are different people in this world. In general, people in this world, they fall under these three categories. Even big yogis, those who are living with Brahma, those who are worshippers of Brahma, those who are living in the planet of Brahma, and very few are actually devotees. Just like even if we see devotees like Indra, now he is purified after the Govardhan Leela, but even they are bewildered in understanding who is Krishna. So even the devotees are bewildered in trying to understand who is Krishna. even the non-devotees are bewildered in trying to understand Krishna. So even among devotees, we have bhakti. We have a desire for material enjoyment. Other day I was telling one doctor family, very nice family. They come and do a lot of service in the Las Vegas temple. Mataji, you should regularly chant Hare Krishna. You should regularly chant. You know, it will benefit you. So I was telling her. So then she told me, Prabhu, I heard if you start chanting, then after some time Krishna will start giving you trouble. As soon as you become closer to Krishna, Krishna will give you trouble. You will be in difficulty, this and that. So I said, Mataji, who told you this? No, I read like this. I heard in classes also. So the point is, even when we market, we should market things in such a way that they are easily palatable and acceptable to the public. So basically, it is the salesman, so transcendental salesman. So that is why we find Srila Prabhupada was such a empowered transcendental salesman that he could convince so many. But not just that, the people who were there, they were also thirsty. So they could have been convinced for anything, because from that 70s era, we can find the Beatles in the Indian media. If you see the Beatles, they are known for going to Maharshi Mahesh Yogi's ashram, the Beatles. They do not show the Beatles as having come to Hare Krishna only. For us, we know George Harrison became a Hare Krishna. But the Beatles did spend a month, the Beatles did spend a month in Rishi Haridwar, Haridwar Rishikesh, in Maharshi Mahesh Yogi's ashram. So the Indian media records that. So in the 70s, there were flood of all kinds of yogis. There was yogi bhajan. For example, I met one very nice yogi from Shivananda School and Yogi Bhajan School. They were such wonderful yoga practitioners. They were hired by the Veterans Affairs. In America, there is the suicide rate among the veterans, war veterans. Because when you go to war, you have to shoot children. They have to shoot, and they see when it's easy to think about war. But when you have to shoot somebody face to face, and you see him dying in front of you, that could be the most traumatic experience. So. Many soldiers who go to war, after they see killing, after they murder, in the sense they have to kill, cause harm, and when you are in that mood, when you are in constant fear of getting killed, and we are constantly killing, and then when you come back, that's like a permanent damage to your mind. Because once the mind, just like they say, once a tiger becomes a man-eater, then it becomes difficult for the tiger to not eat humans. So once a veteran goes into that. So these veterans, they were undergoing yoga nidra therapy by this yogi who was from Shivananda. I spoke to him. And his meditation is on the self, Atma. Very nice yogi. I mean, he could really transform thousands of veterans. And the U.S. military establishment loved him so much because of his dedication to this activity. But when I spoke to him, I was stunned that I was trying to convince him about Krishna consciousness, but he was more calm. And he said he was more calm, more relaxed, and he was talking about Atma. I felt, my God, as devotees, sometimes we get into so much rajas. Not sometimes, most of the time we are in rajas. We are really not in focus of the Atma, nor are we acting in the platform of the Atma. So basically, the only way we come out of this mode of Mishra Bhakti or any form of materialism, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, even within ISKCON, when we come to the temple, what happens? We can get involved in so many projects, and we could, for example, we want to do a popular event. So to make it popular, we could water it down. We could allow some Bollywood music. We could do this, we could do that. You know, we can see the result today, what's happening. We are very few places where Westerners are getting attracted, very few places where we are able to attract really, really high, the high society crowd or something. It's just, few of us. So, why is that, So, of course, from what it was, we have revived, we have come back. So, basically, the aspect of pure bhakti, even when you are in ISKCON or even when you are in any society, we think, oh, we are here, whatever we are doing is pure devotion service, at least we are fine. So, very rarely is pure devotional service obtained. In fact, Rupa Goswami says, even if you attain, it will take at least one lifetime just to begin to relish it, pure devotion. So that is why the two goals were given of a temple, that is offenseless chanting, because that is in our hands, to chant helplessly, to really understand moment after moment that we are helpless. And second is to systematically study Srimad Bhagavatam and leave the rest to Krishna. So, akamaha sarva kamova, the next verse states the same thing. Now, because of material association, birth after birth after birth, and we don't know for how long, we are already in Kali Yuga, that means millions of births are already done. We are in Kali Yuga, that means we have a long history. So that is why Chaitanya, the Lord, understands, oh, he is already in Kali Yuga, means he has disobeyed me for so long. So no hope. The Kali Yuga prime, we have all no hope. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, next option is like a deal. Let's do a deal. Your lifetime is small. That is why the sales pitch. Look, in Kali Yuga, you are in the most advantageous position. You have a short life, and only one life is enough. You don't have to do all the austerities like before, and you get a better result. You get a better result in Kali Yuga. So why don't you do this? So the Acharyas also, the Lord also, is having a sales pitch where he is trying to attract these souls in Kali Yuga who want a bargain for everything. Because we are strongly embedded in Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. We are strongly, not grossly, but subtly, the mind is there. So it's very, very difficult to actually come out and come to the point of pure, loving, devotional service to Krishna, that even with the association, one has to follow the instructions. There were so many people with Prabhupada, and there were so many people away from Prabhupada. Prabhupada was, traveling so much, he could give some people association only once. But there are many devotees who are sincere, who are still good devotees, and those who were with him are no longer devotees. Many of them are stopped even practicing. So that is why. Why is that? Because it is not a proximity. It is because you follow the instructions within the heart. You understand and follow the instructions within the heart with a deep desire. First of all, The goal setting is so critical. The setting of the goal is so critical. That is why, you know, the songs, Radha Krishna Pranamura Jugala Kishora. It is setting a goal. Radha Krishna Pranamura. They are my life. So my life, even if you look at it logically, my life is because of Radha Krishna. They are my life. My Pranavayu, even if you study in the Vedas, the Pranavayu is Vishnu. Even if somebody is not so intelligent to understand the love behind that verse, but he understands that at least, you know, the Vayu, my life, is all Lord Vishnu. So, Bhunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Parapadyate. Jivane Marane Gati Aro Nahi Mora. So, who controls my birth and my death? It is only the Lord. So gradually he comes to the conclusion that the Lord is everything and devotional service is everything, not a bhukti mukti siddhi kami. Whatever Krishna wants to do with this world, Krishna can do. Once one devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, just like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu took out the gold and silver from the planet. Therefore, today they are taking out oil and the world will become imbalance and this and that." And he was telling Prabhupada, "What should we devotees do?" Prabhupada said, "Simply chant Hare Krishna and read Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have time to think about this whole world and its problems. We don't have time to think about all these things. It is not our prerogative. We don't have enough time for that. Kali Yuga, if you lobby against something, they could harm you, this and that. So remain as neutral as possible, live a simple life and try to achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness." So Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't worry about everything happening in this world. We are interested in every politics happening, forgetting that we are under the protection of the Lord." So it is deeply ingrained in us because we are in this society to be external. So actually bhakti means, yoga means to be internal, means to focus on the self. His focus is on the self. He creates a mind, the yogi focuses on the mind and tries to turn the mind into a temple, which is already a temple, but he's forgotten it's a temple. We make it a enjoying body made for enjoyment. We try to enjoy the body as much as possible, and the mind, when you surround the mind by beautiful mantra, when you engulf the self, when you chant, and when you engulf the mind with the holy name, and that's when your mind becomes calm, peaceful. That is why we go into a temple, because when you go to the temple, all the senses everywhere are surrounded by serenity. Pictures of Krishna, agarbatti offered to Krishna, lamp offered to Krishna, kirtan offered to Krishna, right? So in this way, you are surrounding yourself completely, enveloping the mind so that it doesn't think of anything else. But today, unfortunately, when two people meet in the temple, the first thing they will say, "Did you watch the Rajinikanth movie? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this?" Again, when two minds meet, the friction. The whole idea is to forget and meditate and go within. Because you see the Lord outside, the Lord is actually inside. So, until and unless we are empowered, until and unless we, for whatever we have, those who have taken initiation, we understand that the Guru takes away all our sin, and that begins our process where we have to internalize, where we give up external sinful activity. In the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali says that even the devatas, even they, when they practice yoga, they have their Ashtanga yoga for meditation on Vishnu. Even when they do, even devatas give up sensual pleasures. have to give up sensual pleasures. Because every sensual pleasure that you have, it creates an impression on the mind. And then it is very difficult to go. So then that impression, you are trying to again enjoy that, you know, the desire for the, once you eat gulab jamun, next time you want gulab jamun. I mean, that's not a bad example, but I'm just giving an example. That any kind of material enjoyment you have, we are attracted towards that. Or anyone who has enjoyed, one he describes to you, that is what is called association. And when he describes to you, you feel, oh my God. But when you actually meet a devotee who has all the answers, who has achieved peace, and when he gives you the holy name, that's what happened with Narada Muni, when he spoke to both Mrigari, when he spoke to Valmiki. So, first of all, the bhukti mukti siddhi, the devotee explains the futility of these things. Because even with the highest siddhi in yoga, there is no guarantee that you will remember Krishna. And when you realize that none of these will help you in actually remembering Krishna, but only the grace of the devotee and the Lord will actually help you remember Krishna, when he comes to that firm conclusion, but that is why it is said, till that point, till he comes to that firm conclusion that nothing else will help us. We were reading the second chapter, last verse in the last Saturday class that I do, and it was so amazing. Prabhupada says that perfection in Krishna consciousness means to understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And to work in that consciousness, thinking, understanding that he is the proprietor of everything, everything should go to his service. So, in that way, if you actually see, bhakti means, if everything belongs to Krishna, who am I to enjoy? I have to enjoy Krishna's remnants. That's all. Prasadam, everything. And everything else is there. It belongs to him, I am just his servant. If that mentality is there, he is the enjoyer, where am I going to enjoy anything? Mukti. So there are five types of mukti. Sahitya, Salokya, Samipya, Saropya. Out of that, the mukti, which is where one merges into the impersonal absolute, so that mukti is considered for envious people. So that mukti is considered for envious people, where you merge into the impersonal. That is for envious people. But even Saropya, Salukya, you have a form like the Lord, you look like the Lord, you live close to the Lord. But in that sense, even if you have all those things, but still you engage in the devotional service of the Lord, even that is okay. Even that is considered pure devotion. But the highest level of pure devotion, of course, we know, is to become the servant. So that is why the great examples of Prahlada, Hanuman, all these are given. But those who have all this bhukti, mukti, siddhi, very difficult to come for them to come to the point of such pure loving devotion of becoming just like a dog to its master, you know, very, very humble. So humility. So humility doesn't mean just becoming like a carpet. No, humility means like Hanuman. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, at whatever cost, I will do. That's it, to the best of my ability. That is humility. Humility doesn't mean I fold my hands and whoever comes, I call it a sweet and ask him to put his leg on my head. No. Humility means I want to, the only thing I am here for is to serve Guru and Krishna and do whatever it takes. Where I have to bite my ego and do it, just like we are having a Diwali event in Las Vegas. I have to go to all these places distributing pamphlets. Many of them are like, who are you, what is this, that, you know, like But still you go, just like people do book distribution, you take it. Sometimes people have to take abuses, sometimes people have to do, no, but we are doing it for Krishna. So humility, you know. Humility means you take that position where service to Krishna comes at whatever cost. So in our parampara, the emphasis is on pure loving devotion. And Srila Prabhupada described our process, philosophy, very close to Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaita. And they have a very, very sweet philosophy. If you go to Sri Vaishnavism, in Sri Vaishnavism, you speak to somebody, you will have tears in your eyes. He says, this guy was very rich. He had like 3 law firms and everything. He's wearing one mundu and cutting coconut there in the temple. I said, Prabhu, what is the philosophy of Sri Vaishnavism? Can you explain? This guy says, I am Ramanujam Dasar. I am the servant of Ramanujacharya. And I am physically handicapped, physically, mentally, everywhere I am handicapped. Only he can save me. I have to only humbly submit to him. He is our savior. That is humility, where you consider Guru and Krishna your ultimate savior. In bhakti, I am the doer. In mukti, I am the doer. In siddhi, I am the doer and enjoyer. But in bhakti, the Lord is the doer, the Lord is the enjoyer. So where the ego is completely crushed. So that is why, although we come to bhakti, the I factor is there. So that is called Mishra Bhakti. The I factor, that I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, I did this, I built temple, I did this, I established this. But when you come to the point, the Lord did this, I became the medium. So that is why Krishna tells Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhava Sabdya Sachi. You just become a medium, my dear Krishna. You just become a medium. I have done everything. So the ultimate conclusion is that the Lord is the doer. So what is our service in this? Our service is only to purify ourselves, to chant Hare Krishna and to align ourselves with the desire of the Lord. And as per the desire of the Guru, now to get the proper Guru, the greatest blessing of Krishna, the greatest, greatest, greatest blessing of Krishna is actually that Krishna gives you a Guru. That he is the greatest blessing of Krishna. So we should, because he is the salesman, he is the sales rep, of course, transcendental, like Narada Muni, who attracts you, whose character attracts you, whose words attract you, whose ability to chant the names of Krishna, to please Krishna, attracts you. So then bhukti mukti siddhi will become insignificant when you understand the standard, the level of pure devotion, the happiness in performing pure devotion. When you see that example, so that is why the Acharya is so important. Acharya is so important. A few days ago, somebody came here, he was a Ritvik, and he was saying, Prabhupada is Guru. I agree, Prabhupada is Guru. But then without a living example today, without an Acharya today, it will be very difficult for us to relate. It will be very, very difficult for us to relate. And actually even have attraction if we do not see a proper example. So we should consider ourselves most fortunate that we are in this process. And in ISKCON, just being in ISKCON doesn't mean much, but in ISKCON, like what the activity that we do and with whom we associate, Rupa Goswami says that even when one is in an association of devotees, he should intelligently seek out the association of those who are free from bhukti, mukti, siddhi, who are engaged in loving devotion. Because only with that, because when you associate, immediately you get that, at least you rub on them. So when you associate with those devotees who are pure in heart, satam, there are devotees, but they are in different stages. They are in different stages of mukta, mishra, bhakti. So eventually we should always, if our heart is sincere, Krishna will connect us with such devotees who will take us, who will uplift us from whatever situation we are in. That is Krishna's blessing. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he left his home, went to the forest, no GPS, nothing, he just went. And then immediately Krishna sent Narada Muni. That's it. That Krishna sends Guru. That is the sign that Krishna wants you. Krishna sends you somebody to teach you, that means Krishna wants to teach you a lesson. So with my own experience I can say, whenever I have desired sincerely to serve Krishna, Krishna has shown me somebody who can guide me through that, what I want to achieve. But then, whenever in the heart, I was thinking, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do this. Even in the temple, when we think we are doing something in the name of Krishna, you know, we could get, and there are people who could manipulate things. But it's very difficult. Sometimes we think, oh, anything we do in the temple, oh, it's devotion. No, but only under the guidance of a devotee who is pure at heart. So basically, that is why we see that Narottam Das Thakur and other, they sing this song, you know, Kaha Gelo, you know, the song of separation. Where did all these devotees go? I want to smash my head on the rock. I cannot live anymore. Why? Because only when you have the sweetness of taking darshan of a pure devotee, hearing from a pure devotee, taking guidance from a pure devotee, you know that the Lord and the devotee both are satisfied by performing pure devotional service, and that is the only way to achieve peace and happiness. That is the only way to get rid of bhakti, mukti. Because these entities are always there. They are always trying to attack you. But only thing they keep away from is as long as you are connected, as long as you are connected to pure devotional service, or as long as the if-then loop goes there. If you go to prema bhakti, have you reached prema bhakti? Yes, then freedom. If not, as long as you keep yourself connected to the fire, to the pure devotional service, the ideas, thoughts will not attack you. Otherwise, the moment you think, ha, tola mala ho gaya, we are standing right in front of you. What? You are done? Okay, we are here. Let's start. So this is the situation we all face every day, every moment. So that is why I could not understand when Arjuna told Krishna, again and again I am offering obeisances, again and again. Why again and again? One time you offer. But then you realize, one moment you think, oh, now I become Krishna conscious. Moment you wake up, Maya is ready. You are Krishna conscious, you know, she is ready to do the next test. So the whole 24 hours a day, it's a battle to keep bringing our consciousness to the Krishna conscious platform. So again, just like, that is why chanting is so critical, because in chanting, the more we do concentrated chanting, the more we do offenseless chanting, then you get the blessings of protection of Krishna, even when you are not chanting. The moment the sincerely you chant and do devotional service, then in 8 hours of sleep, you are protected, because during when you are awake, you have done your best in terms of devotional service. Therefore, every moment, every day, we should consider ourselves helpless. So when we consider helpless, that's when the offenseless chanting comes. I am helpless. Without the strength of Krishna and his devotees, I am helpless. If we think, oh, let's enjoy, our protection is gone, bhakti. Oh, let's have moksha, then our protection is gone, then you have to depend on your process. And siddhi, let's enjoy some siddhi, you know. So, where the I is, the enjoying factor is there. But when there is no enjoying factor, when I am just trying to do this to please Guru and Krishna, when the I factor is gone, then only the factor of serving Guru and Krishna is there. That's when we actually become successful. Because success means not materially we have built a temple or not, we have done this or not. Success means that Krishna is pleased and he has signed our file, signed this devotee is coming back to Godhead, this life, you are done. That's it. You are successful. So ultimately, whether even Prabhupada says, even if we are failure, in suppose Prabhupada says build a temple, or somebody says build a temple, we try it. We fail. But transcendental, you are already successful. Because success or failure ultimately is up to Krishna. But the attempt to follow Guru and Krishna, even if you are failure, Krishna considers it success. Just like, I would like to end with this. Ladini Mataji, who was in New Vrindavan, she was the, it's very bewildering. She was such a pure devotee. For many years she was in New Vrindavan. And then she left to travel around the world and she ended in Liberia, in Africa. And the, somehow one of the devotees there, foolishly, he spoke against the dictator. Immediately they called all of them to the office of the dictator. And as soon as they came there, he ordered their shooting. And not the women, only the men. But when the first man was about to be shot, the six men, two women, this Mataji, she jumped in front and she took the bullet and she died. I don't know of any other high, there are heroic examples in this country, but this stands out for me. She could have protected herself. Nobody was going to shoot her. But before seeing any other devotee die, she took the bullet and she died. So ultimately, at the highest possible sacrifice, giving up the eye, completely sacrificed for the service of others to please Guru and Krishna. So this is beyond bhakti, beyond mukti, beyond siddhi. Pure devotion is the ultimate sacrifice of everything and anything simply to please Krishna. And for me, that example stands out again and again. She could have saved herself, but she did that plunge. And everybody is sure that such a heroic lady, Krishna took her to the ultimate destination. And that is the inspiration we should get. We are far, far, far away from her. At least take some inspiration and realize that today we are here, this movement is alive because of such pure devotee. When we keep the example of pure devotees in our head, Krishna gives us those qualities and keeps us free from bhakti mukti. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Stop here. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
If anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat. It was such a fantastic class. I really liked the class so much. When you were talking about bhakti mukti and the difference between that and bhakti and how it's only the I factor and dependence on Guru and Krishna. So beautiful, Prabhu. The class was fantastic. Your examples with different yogis. You yourself being a yoga teacher, you know, trying to explain that, it makes so much sense. It was very nice. And I think the icing on the cake for today's class was the example of Ladini Mataji. The first time I read her account as well, I was thinking, wow, this is the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. So it's very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very, very enlivening class. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your association.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I have a question. We as devotees usually, I mean, we all believe that our consciousness and our thoughts will go into the food while cooking. So that's why we make sure that chanting is going on and we have the positive thoughts and, you know, positive energy in us while cooking. So in a similar way, do we also... I mean, like when a devotee or when somebody goes to a doctor and takes a treatment for any disease or for anything, so does that mean that the consciousness from them, you know, from the treating doctor will also affect the consciousness? Or because in with respect to the yoga example that you gave me, I was just thinking about this one.
See, it's not really. In the sense, see, it can affect us to the level we will let it affect us. The Radha Govind Maharaj 100% would not have been affected by Ramdev's philosophy. But he knows that Ramdev is a materialist. He knows very well that if Ramdev is given an opportunity to cure him, Ramdev will feel, like I have seen doctors tell, even in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, at last you have to take care of the body, right? Huh? Or even materialist doctors, one or two materialist doctors, they say, last they come to us only. So, there is always that dilemma. So the point is, one should learn to tolerate. It is very, very difficult, but there is a fine balance. We need to see the specialist, we need to do whatever is needed. Even Radhanath Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, they have such severe health problems. They go to a doctor, but they do it in such a way that they ensure that it does not affect them or the devotees. In the sense, if my disease is becoming bigger, is hindering my bhakti, better to go to a doctor and get it corrected, in general. I'm giving you an in general example. See, in general, doctors don't have much philosophy. You go there, they take care of you, they're done. But Baba Ramdev is a specific example where he has a certain philosophy. So he propagates that philosophy. He considers himself on par with the yogi. Like that, you know. So, in the sense, ultimately, we pray to Krishna that whatever it is, we have to go through this, you know, situation. We are Kali Yuga body. So we have to take care of it for your service. And kindly keep, ensure that, that's why we always pray to the Lord that whatever we may go through, in the end, you know, that the Lord protects and we come out truly victorious, unscathed, you know, in this. So, in general, we need not worry, you know. We are, as devotees, we are always protected by the Lord as long as we remember Him. And in general, doctors do not have much philosophy. There are a few, but if we are careful, that again is a very specific situation. In general, it should be okay. But I gave that example, like I told you. So Ramdev is a very famous, and he wrote to Radha Govinda Maharaja, "I will cure you." He said, "Who are you to cure me? Krishna will take care of me." That was the thing, you know. So that was that particular example I wanted to give.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
But there is one negative example. Just remember, I was speaking to one devotee, Radha Kondu Prabhu in Chaupati temple. So one family was not getting a child. So they went to some Muslim Hakim. So finally they got a child. I don't know it was time or the Hakim. But the Hakim converted them to Islam. That kind of doctor is dangerous. So we should be try to be careful, you know, in general. In general, it is okay, but sometimes when you find out people like this, even if it's not a doctor, but even in general, a person is like this, you know, better be careful.
Yeah. So if anybody has any more questions, please go ahead. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a very enlightening and encouraging class. We thoroughly enjoyed your class. And we're really very fortunate and grateful to you. We look forward to your more association in the future. So if nobody has any calls, we'll end call you.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I just wanted to request, if you could, because I know Madhvacharya's appearance is coming in a couple of days, and since you have some background, so could you please say a few words, what is most inspirational about him?
About who? Madhvacharya.
Yes, Prabhu.
Madhvacharya, of course. Madhvacharya is our... we know that Madhvacharya, everybody were empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So that is why it is said there was an evolution of philosophy, right? So from Buddhism, then Krishna... First, what he did, he neutralized all the Vedic things. And in fact, he had to neutralize all these Muslims. They destroyed all the Vedic culture because he had to bring the foundation of the new Krishna consciousness cult, you know, to establish this. So in between, there was Ramanujacharya and Shankaracharya came to establish Hinduism again, so Vedic religion. But then that was, Advaitism was veiled Buddhism. It was Buddhism, but it was a Hindu version of Buddhism. It was still atheism, but he was empowered for that. But eventually, the one who brought about the concept of devotional service was Ramanuja and Madhva. But Madhva was a very fierce warrior. He literally smashed Shankaracharya. He smashed. Even he used to smash Ramanujacharya because he would not take any even iota of, because we say Achintya Veda Veda. Achintya Veda Veda means similar and different. Similar yet different. He did not even want to use the word similar. So he hated Shankaracharya's philosophy in such, I don't want even people to think that there is something called similar. No. I don't even want people to think even that we are anywhere close or similar to Krishna in any way. No. So that was his hardcore philosophy. That's why it's called Dvaita Dvaita. However, he, of course, that's why he introduced the Carnatic music. He introduced Carnatic music to serve Krishna. So the purpose of Carnatic music was not for Durdarshan. It was actually to please Krishna. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, we know he was so powerful physically. He killed the Rakshasas. There were Rakshasas who were trying to disturb him. Once a big snake, six-headed snake, five-headed snake, he came. And Madhvacharya crushed him with his toe. Once there was a big river that was blocked by a big boulder. Madhvacharya alone lifted the boulder and everybody became devotees of Krishna. So in this way, we will find that Shankaracharya has, Madhvacharya has performed some, because he is the expansion of Vayu and empowered by Vayu, he did some of the most amazing, powerful feats of an Acharya. And he performed such amazing feats that many, many centuries later, he laid the foundation and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to take initiation from this process of from the line of Madhvacharya and take his blessing. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very fortunate today that we are standing in this Gaudiya Vaishnava. If not for the greatness of Madhva, I'm sure Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have selected him. There is something special there.
Yes, very nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Prabhuji. Do we have any more questions? If not, we can end the call here. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu vayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri His Grace Gaur Nataraj Prabhu ki jai.
Jai.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. Hare Krishna.